What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to the CUSA Insider Podcast. You might be thinking, that's not Sarah Rudolph. No, it's me, Josh Yonas, introing this podcast solo here in Las Cruces, New Mexico from the 2024 CUSA Softball Championship. We've got a couple great interviews lined up for today with our Coach of the Year and our Player of the Year from the CUSA Softball Postseason Awards that came out on Tuesday. And if you're interested in tuning into the 2024 CUSA Softball Championship, you can find all games leading up to the championship game on ESPN Plus beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, with host New Mexico State taking on number 5 seed Jack State. Our championship game is scheduled for 12 p.m. Mountain, 1 p.m. Central on CBS Sports Network. So feel free to tune into the action throughout the week. Plenty of exciting softball to come here in that thin mountain air. You should expect probably a lot of offense this week, as many teams did when they came to visit New Mexico State. But as we mentioned, got a couple great interviews lined up. And as always, for everything CUSA Insider Pod, you can follow us on social at CUSA Insider Pod on X, for the artist formerly known as Twitter, or Instagram. And again, please follow along with all the action this week at the softball tournament, and enjoy our interviews. Here at the New Mexico State Softball Complex with another Josh Taylor, Louisiana Tech, the 2024 CUSA Softball Coach of the Year. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Coach of the Year for your second time in 3 years at the helm of the program. Just tell me what that means to you and how you feel like you've executed kind of your mission as a coach at La Tech.
Well, it means a ton, first of all. It means that we're representing Louisiana Tech properly, and that really means a lot to me, because Louisiana Tech, just in a short period of time, means a lot to me. But most importantly, though, I think it's a testament to my coaching staff. I mean, you look at Chelsea and Tyler and Maddie, and, you know, Chelsea and Tyler have been with me all 3 years, and you know, I think it's more of a staff award, to be quite honest with you. Chelsea does a fantastic job with our pitchers. Tyler's a great yin to my yang, so to speak, as far as keeping it lighter, because I can be a little more in the intense side at times. But yeah, it's really a testament to my staff, in my opinion. I think they just do a fantastic job. My staff does a fantastic job. Our support staff is tremendous, with Malcolm Butler, Ryan Ivey, our athletic director. Hunter does a fantastic job as our SID. You know, all the way down, Logan as our athletic trainer. Alex, our strength and conditioning coach. I mean, you can go just down the line. Emma Earnhardt, who's our student manager. I mean, they all just do such a fantastic job of doing a great job within our program, from doing laundry every day to, you know, Tyler and Chelsea spending hours and hours scouting opponents and putting together unbelievable scouting reports.
You've had kind of a model of consistency in your 3 years at La Tech, you know, hitting that 30-win mark, making the conference tournament, through a lot of changes in the league. So what have you really stuck to? What have been some of your principles of coaching, and how have you and your staff been able to really meet those?
Well, I'm glad you used the word principles. I mean, we have standards. I mean, we have standards that we... You know, it starts with the tenets of Tech, but we have standards in regards to, you know, what we want to be, not just on the field and off the field. I think that you know, wins and losses are a byproduct of all of those other things. And when you have standards in the classroom and academically, you have standards on how you're going to behave on the road and in restaurants and in airplanes and all those things, I think it translates to, you know, discipline on the field, to where, you know, we feel that if we can play good softball, it doesn't matter who's in the other dugout, and we try to do that. And, you know, we do, you know, have grinding practices at times with, you know, a lot of rep work, and you got to look at our mass fungo today. That's an everyday thing for us, which is intense and tiring, but at the same time, it's focused and it's disciplined. So, you know, we have standards, and I think that's been the secret to our success, so to speak, as far as maintaining those standards and making sure that our players understand those standards in regards to how they represent Louisiana Tech and our university.
You've used that word intensity a lot, and I know that's kind of, yeah, indicative of you and your coaching, but how do you help instill that into the girls and really fire them up and help them kind of show that on the field?
Yeah, well, with the girls, we talk about intent more than intensity. I think there's a fine line. I mean, part of the message today was, you know, I feel blessed because I don't coach a bunch of girls that just don't care. I think one of our problems is they try too hard. And there is a balance in the game of softball to where it can be detrimental to try too hard. It can lock you up, and you know the signals that your brain sending in your body doesn't work quite as fast as or efficiently as they're supposed to when you're not playing free and loose. So it's a balance on intensity. I think they've gotten to the point where they let me be intense and let the work, the process of the work that we've done kind of speak for itself, so where they can go out and play loose and free, but with great intent. And I think we use the word intent more with them than intensity. But intent's very important, not only on the offensive side, but knowing where your outs are, the intent of a pitch that we're throwing and why, and all those things. So we use the word intent a lot. So they play with great intent. And I think it's also been, you know, part of what we're all about is that, you know, everything, every pitch, everything we do has a purpose. And you play this game for the moment. And the moment can be a ground ball in the first. That could be big. It's not just the great play that everybody writes about and talks about. It's being consistent in our approach and in our intent.
I know that a big thing for you has been pitching, you know, thinking back to last year and then this year coming into the tournament with the top ERA in Conference USA. Tell me from a coaching perspective how difficult it's been to navigate. You know, you obviously have a lot of really talented arms in that pitching staff, but to be able to navigate all those situations and you know, making sure that you're kind of game planning just right to have the right people in the circle.
Well, it starts with recruiting. I mean, you know, bringing an Allie Floyd in and having a Brooke Melinchuk, bringing Madison Buster in, Lauren Manzina, Emma Hutchinson. I mean, you can go Alyssa Martin. I think I just named them all. I want to make sure I name them all because they're all important pieces to what we try to do. Whether you get 14 innings or 140 innings or 200 innings, there's no level of standard, so to speak, that's more or less important than the other role that they're playing. And I think they all fit that really well. And then obviously Chelsea Cohen is, in my opinion, one of the best pitching coaches in the country. And what makes her so fantastic is her, you know, her thirst for knowledge and wanting to get better every year. And, you know, her contacts, not only internationally, but in the United States are tremendous. And the people that she uses to get new ideas, and she's just really great at what she does, and she cares a lot, and she manages those pitchers, and leave no doubt about it. I don't deal with the pitching that much, and it's really, I feel very fortunate that I have somebody like Chelsea that I can trust with the pitching staff to make sure that they're ready each and every time they go, you know, step out in that circle. And you know, I have standards too, things we do and don't do that are pretty basic, you know, no leadoff walks, no two out walks, minimize the amount of walks. I mean, strikeouts are huge and help fielding percentage to a certain aspect, but, you know, we should be able to train our defense to catch a soft ground ball. So we want to pitch to more soft contact and do those types of things and be more efficient with our arms to allow them to go deeper in games and stay fresh. And there's lots of different philosophies that I have on the pitching side, but Chelsea definitely implements all those things and does a great job with our pitchers. And, you know, having the pitching staff that we have, and I mean, our 2024 recruiting class is unbelievable in the circle as well. We have two more arms coming in next year, and that's how we started to build this from day one. We knew we were going to have to build it from that circle out, and we're going to continue to work that way. And we feel real good about where we're going to be over the next 8 years.
When you look at the makeup of the girls on that staff, you know, Allie Floyd is the freshman of the year last year. Madison Buster is on the all freshman team this year. So you've got a lot of youth there. And obviously it sounds like you're reloading for next year as well. So has it been difficult for you and Chelsea with those girls to, you know, help them with their confidence, you know, when they're early on? I'm sure, you know, Allie had her shaky moments in her freshman season. I'm sure that Madison was the same this year. But to be able to help them kind of ride that through and get the success that they were able to get.
Yeah, we don't talk about confidence as much as we talk about belief. I think that umbrella is confidence and everything that comes underneath it. But, you know, getting them to believe in themselves and what they're, you know, trusting their stuff, so to speak, I think that that's important. And you know, Allie is just a, you know, no pun intended, but she has a bulldog mentality and she wants the ball. Same thing with Madison. She's grown a lot. There's been some growing pains for Madison Buster this year. I mean, there's been some, I'll just call them Coach Taylor moments, bringing her out of a game that I'm sure she would rather forget. But one thing I'm really proud of her of is that, you know, she understood the message and she understood why I was saying, you know, you have to come from that bullpen with a mentality, and she's been able to really make that adjustment. I'm really proud of her for that, because she's the nicest, sweetest, most unbelievable human being you'll ever meet, and goofiest, I guess you could say, too. But she's been able to really take charge of her, you know, game, and understand the mentality that it takes to pitch at this level, and she's done a great job. I mean, we haven't mentioned Brooke Melichuk, who's also been on, you know, she's the Conference USA Pitcher of the Week last week in the final week of conference play, and she's come a long way. I mean, when we first got here, she, you know, a week before the season started, she tore ACL and had to sit that whole first year. And then it took her, you know, three quarters of the year last year to kind of get back into it and build her confidence back up. And you could see it starting to happen at the end of last year and the end of this year. She's had a tremendous year for us as well. And you can really see it starting to come out in her more. And she's just growing and growing. And I think that's really what we want out of our pitchers, is just consistent growth on what it takes to pitch at this level and consistent application of the things that they're learning from Chelsea.
Out here in the desert this week, obviously, hitting is going to be key for a lot of teams. I know we talked about it earlier, just how important that's been for your team, is to get some consistent offense. Talk to me about your approach going into the week, what you're really hoping for. You know, you guys hit really well in that series win when you were here, you know, not too long ago. So what are you trying to replicate from that? And just, you know, kind of talk to me about the, you know, this week.
I think our girls just, they just try too hard. I don't coach a group of girls that don't have passion and don't have desire and don't want to win. I feel very fortunate and blessed that I have these girls to coach, but we do struggle with try too hard. And then that is a thing in our sport. That is a thing that we're trying to get them to be loose and free when they're at bat, especially, and be able to compete and just let their natural skill sets come out. If you look at our skill sets, they're off the charts. I mean, 1 through 9. Whether it's power or speed, we have all those things and all those tools in our toolbox. They just need to know, you know, how to reach in and grab those tools when they need them. And I think that if we can play loose and free this and play with a tremendous amount of belief, I think we can get it done. I mean, we've shown signs this year of an explosive offense. Especially early in the year, and you know, we have a bad game and then they start trying too hard, and that's kind of snowballed on us. And I think, you know, kind of with the reset of the conference tournament, hopefully that helps us, and I think that we'll have an opportunity to go out and show them. And it was nice to be able to play here 2 weeks ago and get some confidence in this ballpark and understand that we can compete here. And you know, we're excited about the weekend, but the adjustments have been made, all the practices have been done. It's time to just go out and play ball now. And I think that if they just go do that, not try too hard, not try to make things happen or live in the world of should, then I think we'll be okay.
That's great. Well, always great to get some insight from some of our coaches on their, you know, their programs. But best of luck this week. Again, 2024 CUSA Softball Coach of the Year, Josh Taylor from Louisiana Tech. Again, best of luck this week, and thanks again.
Josh, thanks for having me very much. It was a pleasure being on. Thank you.
Here at the New Mexico State Softball Complex, joined by CUSA Player and Freshman of the Year, pitcher and outfielder, Desiree Spearman. Desiree, how's it going?
It's going good. Couldn't ask for a better day.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. First off, you know, just hearing that you are the first player in Conference USA history to earn two first team slots at, you know, two positions, what does that mean to you?
Just knowing that all the hard work that me and my family have put in is paying off, and just having a team that supports me and pushes me to be a two-way player like that, it means a lot for the whole team and the whole university. So I'm just really glad to be representing it, and yeah.
You're sort of a hometown kid from El Paso, so an hour away. Being able to play here at New Mexico State, I know that you and Kathy kind of have a previous relationship, so just tell me about that. What brought you to New Mexico State, and just how awesome it is to be doing it here in Las Cruces?
Yeah, so I originally came to one of the prospect camps. I think I was in the sixth grade. It might have been younger. Coach Rowe always says seventh, but it was definitely the sixth grade. And I just kept coming. I got really close to the coaches. I didn't really talk, but they knew me as a person. So just when I was getting recruited, that was the main selling point. Just because I had a lot of trust in them and them knowing me as a player, it opened me to a different level of play, I want to say, because I knew when I wasn't able to push myself that they were going to push me. So that relationship is super special to me, and I couldn't ask for a better coach. So, yeah.
Beginning of the year, You pitch a 7-inning, 1-hit shutout of Nebraska. Was that kind of the moment where, you know, this season really took off for you? Or just kind of talk me through, like, when you really started to feel, you know, that confidence took off for you.
Yeah, that Nebraska game definitely was where my confidence was instilled. It definitely showed me that we could make it. We can make it far, and this team is special. So, yeah, looking back towards that game, it seems so long ago. But I think that opened the whole team's eyes to the team that we could potentially be and we've become.
Obviously, as I mentioned, you know, very rare that someone performs at an elite level at the pitcher position and in the field. Talk to me about just your history in the game of softball. When you kind of, you know, were you ever forced to make a decision, or how were you able to really perfect both sides of the game?
So growing up, I never really played on a big travel organization. I played out of a travel ball team in El Paso. So we all grew up together. There was maybe 12 players on the team, so it wasn't much competition competing for the field, which I think was a great way for me to develop in that way, because you had to learn how to play every position and you had to be good at every position. So, yeah, just from a young age, I always played both sides of the field. I always wanted to be good everywhere that I was put, just so I could be versatile and always have an opportunity to play. I never really had to make a decision, thankfully, in high school. I got close maybe in my recruiting stage, just picking schools, which is also another selling point on coming here, because they were going to allow me to do it. Being a two-way player, I think it makes me the person and the player I am, because if I wasn't, I don't think I would be as engaged and in it.
Yeah, does that change your approach a lot in the game? Because, you know, you could be going from pitching in the circle and then, you know, you're hitting in the box. I mean, you're seeing it from both sides, and, you know, maybe having to kind of switch it up, you know, mid-game.
I wouldn't say I really switch my mindsets, but I think it does add a little advantage on the hitting side, just because I kind of think to myself when I'm up there, like, what would I throw myself in this situation? So I think it adds a little edge.
After, you know, that hot start to the year, you had an injury that kind of kept you out for a few weeks. You know, after the way that you started, how tough was it to have that injury when you feel like you were just kind of getting things going? And did that really motivate you the rest of the way through the season?
Yeah, when it happened, you know, me and Coach Rowe, we sat down and we kind of just established, like, there's two ways we could take this, and we could be sad about it and we could pout, or we could take the break, we could sit back, we could get better, heal, and slowly work our way back to where we're supposed to be. And I think it just took her telling me that and her willing to push me when I was too scared to push myself, that really made a difference in the way that I play now.
Going into the tournament this week, obviously you guys get the advantage of being the home team. So, you know, what advantages do you guys feel like? I know the home and away splits for your lineup are insane when you guys are here, you know, that mountain air. But, you know, what are you guys really hoping to get out of this week, and how excited are you to be able to host?
Yeah, we're super excited to be able to host. We play our field really well. Our field plays really fast. So if you're not up to speed, you're going to have to get with it. The ball flies here, like you said. So we're just really excited to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to play on our field. And especially with us being a senior loaded team, them being able to play on their home field for the last time, I think adds some more motivation, and it just makes us more hungry for the championship.
How have they gathered around you? I mean, I know they wouldn't cast off the freshmen, but with the way that you were playing this year, I'm sure that they were really coming around you, helping build you up, helping just in those tough moments, in those exciting moments. Just what have those relationships been like for you?
It's definitely been great building experience, building relationships and experiences with our seniors. They're great people on and off the field, so it's good to know that they're going to have my back regardless of the outcome of any situation. We all like to say that there's no class on the field. We're all just New Mexico State. We're all playing for the same reason, same goal. So I think it's just fun to go out there and be able to play with people that you consider your friends. So yeah.
All right, while we're here and some of our fans are in town, one of the things we like to do on some of our podcast interviews is ask for our CUSA Eats segment is, where do people need to go eat? So I know you haven't been here long, but, you know, where are your favorite places to eat here in Las Cruces?
I'm going to have to say Waze is the way to go. Waze is the way to go. It's a Polynesian Hawaiian styled place, which is kind of different, but it's really good. And if you want Mexican food, I would say El Vagon is really good. It's a small little joint, but it's really good. You have to trust me.
All right, if people go to Waze, what's the move?
You have to get the chicken katsu. It's really good, and then make sure you put the sauce on it.
All right. Well, again, joined by New Mexico State freshman pitcher and outfielder Desiree Spearman, the 2024 CUSA Player and Freshman of the Year. Thank you so much, Desiree, and best of luck this week.
Thank you.